This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Livit is back with tips on reducing bacteria in reusable bags. We will have music by Gisela Kroll, an inspiring devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw, and much more.
Don't go anywhere. Good morning and happy Wednesday. Welcome to a new episode of Wake Up With Hope.
Good morning to you friends on this lovely spring day. How are the flowers blooming near you? I know we have some beautiful flowers in our yard, and I keep planting more every year because I just love them so much. We would love to see what full spring looks like in your area. Send us a picture on our Wake Up With Hope Facebook page. We'd love to see what different colors are surrounding you today.
Yes, please send pictures. You know, warmer days are ahead. And on today's program, we're going to have some health tips to consider as you prepare for these summer grilling days. Also, we have a blessings-packed show filled with inspiring music. Mm-hmm. We're going to have devotional once again and much, much more. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1883, after 14 years, the Brooklyn Bridge over the East River opens in 1883, connecting the great cities of New York and Brooklyn for the first time in history. Thousands of residents of Brooklyn and Manhattan Island turned out to witness the dedication ceremony, which was presided over by President Chester A. Arthur and New York Governor Grover Cleveland. Designed by the late John A. Roebling, the Brooklyn Bridge was the largest suspension bridge ever built to that date. Bridges are fascinating structures that help us cross over to places we otherwise would have a hard time or simply wouldn't be able to cross to. But did you know that though the vast majority of bridges move commuters, consumer goods, and utility services from one place to another, some bridge structures go no place at all? Either they're never completed because of cost or property-related issues, or they're designed to be viewing platforms, or one end of a bridge has collapsed or been destroyed and the remaining side hasn't been demolished yet.
You know, sometimes in our own lives, we build bridges that end up taking us nowhere. We might end up following dead ends and end up feeling discouraged and even defeated. But the good news is that when we let Jesus pick us back up, we can move forward, we can press forward, and we can end up on the path that God intended for us. So friends, reach out to Him today. Call out to Him and let Him lead your life. You know, after all, He has promised in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
Amen. Praise God for that hope and that glorious future that's awaiting us.
Amen.
Do you use reusable bags? Did you know they can actually house a lot of bacteria?
Oh, no.
Livit is back today to share tips on how to reduce the amount of bacteria in those bags.
In a world where we're conscious about recycling or reusing for the health of our environment, there are some factors to take into consideration for your own health while still being environmentally conscious.
That's right. Take reusable grocery bags. They're great for the environment, but have you ever considered you may be carrying more than just your groceries in that bag?
A researcher at Loma Linda University Health found that almost all reusable grocery bags carry bacteria in them.
And 10% of the reusable bags he collected from shoppers contained E. coli, a fecal bacteria that can make us sick.
So by being environmentally friendly, and thinking that you're going green with a reusable grocery bag, you actually are increasing the chance of bringing your home bacteria into the store or bringing bacteria that was in the store back to your home.
If we follow the life of a reusable bag, it travels everywhere, from our house to the trunk of our car and into the grocery store.
Once it's in the store, many times we set it in the front seat of the grocery cart, the most contaminated surface you'll encounter on a trip to the store. Next, we place these bags on the conveyor belt, another highly contaminated surface. Then we place them back in our trunks, a warm and cozy breeding ground for more bacteria, and right on to our kitchen counters.
I should make a reusable grocery bag that looks like a big pair of tidy whities or something. It is like shopping with dirty underwear. What I would suggest is if you have the reusable bags, clean them as often as you use them.
The first step in disinfecting your reusable bag is to make sure it's a cotton bag or one that can be washed, unlike made from plastic or polypropylene.
The second step is to make sure your detergent has disinfectant in it. Look for labels that say parasitic acid or OxyClean.
Many powder detergents have a disinfectant included, and if we want to use a natural cleaning option, thymol or thyme oil is a very powerful disinfectant.
By following these tips, we can ultimately limit the amount of bacteria in our homes. There's your tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
Have you ever been falsely judged by people? Maybe you've been cruelly judged by others and painted in a bad light. Well, today's Masterstroke episode is just for you. Come along now as we join Neil Scofield as he examines another unique painting filled with lessons and practical applications.
The first Rembrandt painting was The Stoning of Stephen in 1625. He was just 19 years of age. This painting comes from the biblical story where the deacon Stephen became the first Christian martyr. When Stephen blamed his people for killing the Messiah, they ran towards him in a pack. So here we have Stephen in the center. His face is lit and he's gazing up to the light. A whole bunch of men are poised, ready to stone him. We have a man mounted on a horse on the side, and we can see the domes and walls of Jerusalem in the background. At the rear of the painting is Saul of Tarsus. He's holding the coats of those doing the dirty work. What I find interesting is that Rembrandt looks to have painted the same face as Stephen on Saul. He's even looking in the same direction. Why? Maybe Rembrandt is portraying that Saul would soon take the place of Stephen and become a mighty worker for Jesus. Now let's look straight above the face of Stephen. Here we find a self-portrait of Rembrandt. He's painted himself in among the gang of killers. But by the look on his face, he seems to be having second thoughts. As he saw the peace on the face of Stephen, and the light of God shining on him, as he heard him say, "Lord, please do not charge them with this sin," going through his mind must have been, "I think I've misjudged this man. Maybe he's innocent after all. What if this bad man is actually good? What if I've made a terrible mistake?" Of course, that happened in the mind of Saul. So maybe Rembrandt painted himself thinking exactly the same thing. So what's the point of this painting? For me, it's this. From the life and prayer of Stephen came the ministry of Paul. From the ministry of Paul came the gospel to the whole world. The next time you feel like someone has misjudged you, falsely accused you, or rejected you in your faith, remember the story and prayer of Stephen. Lord, please do not charge them with this sin.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more and search for us on YouTube and check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
We hope you're enjoying our time with us this morning, but we now have to take a quick break. When we return, we will have music by Gisela Kroll. And later, John Bradshaw from It Is Written will be encouraging us with a truth-filled message. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Gisela Kroll joins us now as she sings Sometimes.
I don't know what you think you might know, but you gotta know it's not worth it. I carry around the weight of the world and pretend it's not a burden. walk by faith, not by sight. But Lord knows how many times with me He's tried. But sometimes I get it right. Put your head down and don't look up. I know this life firsthand. Walk by faith, not by sight. But Lord knows how many times with me He's tried. But sometimes I get it right.
Sad, sad, sad. That's the title of today's Doctor's Orders. What's Dr. Nerida McKibben so sad about? Well, let's find out.
I like living in America. It's a great country.
That's true, but we've given the world some bad health.
What do you mean?
Well, if you look at the standard American diet, it's full of fat, sugar, and salt.
You're right. America's given the world fast food. And eating the standard American diet gives you the standard American diseases like heart disease, cancer, strokes, diabetes.
And those diseases take us to the standard American doctor.
Who prescribes the standard American drug, which treats the symptoms but not the cause.
That help us to die the standard American death.
So what kind of life does the standard American live?
Sad, 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 sad.
And it all begins with the standard American diet. So if you want to live a more abundant life, then you need to adopt God's original diet from the Garden of Eden. Fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, and legumes.
But what about the burgers, fries, and Coke?
They'll make you sad. That the Creator's bounty, look at that.
Wow, that makes me glad.
Exactly. So, don't live the sad life, live the glad life. Doctor's orders.
If you're enjoying today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel as well and keep up with us there. Coming up right after the break, Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written shares a thoughtful message from the Bible with us. Stay right there. Welcome back to our program. How are you enjoying it this morning? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a reflective message from the Bible.
Hey, great to see you. I hope you're doing well today, blessed and encouraged in the Lord. My name is John Bradshaw from It Is Written. It's really a joy to have this time from you. You know, somebody once famously coined the phrase, space, the final frontier. You know, there's a lot of it out there. The universe is vast. I don't know if anyone has any real comprehension of just how big it is. But recently, NASA made an announcement that they have located now 5,000 exoplanets. Those are actual planets outside our solar system. Now, for the layperson, that seems almost impossible. But if you're in the know, you might understand how that process works. I'm not suggesting that the Hubble telescope or the James Webb telescope have been implicated or used for these things, but we have those telescopes floating around in the sky. We have stations here on the Earth. We have very highly trained, intelligent, perspicacious scientists who are monitoring the skies and looking deep into space. And they found these planets outside of the Milky Way. That means they're a long, long, long way away. Some of them are bigger than the Earth. They call them super Earths. Some of them the size of Jupiter, some the size of Neptune. Now, that's pretty big, because if the Earth was the size of a nickel, Neptune would be in comparison the size of a baseball. Pretty big Neptune, big place. And they found planets, exoplanets, outside our solar system that are that size. I mean, how big is the solar system? The universe, 5,000 of these things. But what one scientist said recently, she said, they believe there are 200 billion exoplanets that we haven't yet found. I mean, you need to try to get your mind around that, but I just don't know if you can. So exoplanets, big planets, most of them outside our solar system, found 5,000, but there's just this almost countless number besides that are to be found. The first time I ever heard that there are millions of galaxies, or was it billions? I don't want to exaggerate. Millions is an awful lot. I thought to myself, it's a very big universe we have. Very, very big. The Milky Way is about 100,000 light years across, which means that if at creation Adam had started traveling at the speed of light, he would be barely 1/20th of the way across the galaxy. It's just vast, so, so big. But what does that tell you about God who made this all? The challenge that many people have is that their God is too small. Aunt Mabel is sick, you shrug your shoulders, what can anyone do? Hold on a minute, did you go to God and wrestle with God and plead with God that Aunt Mabel would get well? Maybe you did and she didn't get well. In that case, we trust God. But maybe you didn't. Maybe you should have. Maybe you still should. What's your default reaction? Somebody loses a job. Oh, you lose a job. What's the default reaction? Complain about the boss. That might or might not be a valid response, but the default reaction needs to be to pray. It needs to be to pray, to look to God. You're threatened with eviction. What do? You say, well, wait a minute. My landlord really is God. I'm going to trust in God. I'll do what I can. I'll negotiate. I'll save. I'll do this. I'll do that. But my landlord is really God. They're downsizing at your company. Who is it who's ultimately in control? Who's taking care of you? That's God. Do you trust that God would take care of you? Hold on a minute. What do we say? Outside of the Milky Way, they've found 5,000 exoplanets. There again is 200 billion exoplanets out there. Some of them are gigantic. How big is your God? That's the question I want to ask you today. is He able to provide for you? The Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If you believe that, then you believe that, and you will trust that God is able to provide for your need. A crushing blow comes into your life. It could be financial, could be social, could be marital maybe. What do you do? Does it flatten you completely? Or do you say, no, wait a minute, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So in spite of this real difficulty that's going on in my life, I want to trust that Jesus is with me. I wonder if I ever told you this. I might have. If I did, it's worth telling you again, because it's certainly very relevant to what we're talking about here. I went to visit a lady one day. I was pastoring in a certain church, and she was a church member. She contacted me and said, "Pastor, come visit me." Now, I'd visited her several times already. So this was interesting. She summoned me to her bedside at the residential care facility. I wondered what could be up. She said to me, "Pastor, I've always tried to get cancer in a part of my body where I had two of something." She said, "I lost a kidney. I lost a breast. I lost an eye." I wondered where she was going with this. She said, "But you know, Pastor, I only have one liver." I said, "You have liver cancer?" She said, "I do." I said, "What are they telling you?" She said, "There isn't really any hope." I said, "Oh, well, how are you doing? How are you going to be?" You know what she said? She said to me, "I figure that me and Jesus are going to get through this together." Now, she didn't say "Jesus and I." That might have been more appropriate grammatically. But she said, "I believe me and Jesus." So I'll never forget those words. I repeated those words at her funeral several months later. She was a character. I mean that in the most respectful way. She had a spark about her. I mean, anybody who would say to me what she said to me, you know, she's got some personality. And she did. I can never forget her faith. She was confronted by a terminal illness, which she knew was going to take her life. And she said, "It's going to be okay, because together with Jesus, I will get through this." No, it's not that she had greater faith than anybody necessarily. She didn't have access to something that you and I don't have access to. She just had a big God. She had the kind of God that made a universe, put all those exoplanets out there, planets way outside our solar system, put those millions of galaxies out there. Her God was the one who put the red spot on the side of Jupiter and wrapped the rings around Saturn. Her God was the one who could bring water out of a rock and carpet the ground with manna. Her God was the one who could bring down the walls of Jericho and open up the Red Sea. Her God was the one that stopped the River Jordan from flowing so that Elijah could cross over one way and come back the other. Her God was able to open the eyes of the blind and cause the lame to leap as an hart or a deer, you understand. Her God was the one who was able to raise the dead, and she knew that one day Jesus would come back and raise her from the dead. Exoplanets. You're never going to see one with the naked eye, at least not this side of the second coming of Jesus, but they can tell you something. They can tell you that the God of heaven is a great big God. He is big enough to help you through. He's big enough to help you with your challenges. He'll see you through your worries, and He will provide every need. My prayer for you today is that you will discover that your God is a great big God.
Thank you so much, Pastor John, for those inspiring words.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope today. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow, friends. We have a special feature on exercise, and Dwayne Sterling will join us with music. Plus, we will have an inspiring morning devotional and much more. If you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed with you in mind.
We hope you didn't miss that. Again, that's hope.study. We have no doubt you're going to be blessed and very encouraged. And before we go, we have a Bible promise, and it's found in John chapter 14, verse 2.
It says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" Friends, what a beautiful promise.
Yes, very encouraging that Jesus is preparing a special place in heaven just for us, just for you, friend. Now, right now, Jesus is waiting, and he's waiting on you and me to choose him. See, nothing will make him happier than us being able to live in the eternal home that he is so lovingly preparing for each one of us. You know, friends, I can't wait.
I can't wait for that great day either. We hope you have a wonderful Wednesday, and we will see you tomorrow morning.
Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, just as much as we have our plans for today, we've prepared a schedule, we have determined what we're going to do and where we're going to go, in the same way, you're preparing a literal place for us, a literal place in your kingdom. And Lord, we look forward to occupy that space with you. And we pray that you would make our hearts ready to see your face and to be welcomed into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for this hope. In Jesus' name, amen.